the rest of the story. Ever since Adam and Eve invented nakedness, their self-conscious progeny have been concealing themselves with clothing. Early in the evolution of this uniquely human custom, simple, practical body coverings became a means of tribal identification. The civilized world calls the latter fashion. The most recent ritual in the catechism of self-adornment is the boutique within a store. The Armani boutique, for example, at Neiman's, and so on. That particular merchandising phenomenon originated at Macy's department store in Manhattan through the bold innovation of a firebrand fashion designer named Amy. The New York headquarters for her ambitious enterprise was a suite in the Hotel Seymour on 45th Street. Admiring feature writers and fashion critics traipsed in and out all day long, each graciously welcomed by the staff. Sewing machines clacked and hummed, and fitting dummies stood at attention while seamstresses scurried about clutching bolts of fabric and personally coordinating all of this like the courtier choreographer of some textile ballet was Amy herself. Her trademark was functional fashion, somewhat of a novelty in those days. Sleek, uncomplicated designs, ample sleeves and broad shoulders, narrow waistlines. Among her revolutionary concepts, which helped shape the future of fashion, was the use of wrinkle-proof materials, the invention of zip-out washable linings, and perhaps most practical of all, the matching of separates, enabling a woman to purchase a size 10 blouse and a size 12 skirt or slacks for the same ensemble. Exploding on the fashion scene early in 1934, she quickly became known as the Queen of Sportswear, offering no fewer than 50 outfits for what she defined as active living. Outdoor wear, travel ensemble, so-called spectator attire, but the higher fashions, the tailored suits and evening dresses, were merely waiting in the wings. Only one store in each metropolitan area was permitted to sell Amy's clothing line. Macy's promptly acquired the New York City market, followed by 30 other major stores. The demand increased so quickly that five manufacturing firms were required to satisfy it. And then, suddenly, astonishingly, it all stopped. Anxious rumors bounded about the world. But the fact was that Amy, enervated from the incessant creative effort of designing, exhausted from promoting and maintaining her ever-sprawling fashion empire, was now ill, unable to work, and resolved to leave that industry forever. Amy's mother, after visiting her bedside, would report that no endeavor her daughter had ever pursued had imposed such physical and emotional demands. The strain was simply too much. So it was over. Amy would return to the lesser challenges of her previous ambition. Now, as you reflect on the accomplishments for which history best remembers her, I hope you'll recall a remarkable Manhattan couturier whose influences echo through women's wear to this day. For had fashion only been easier, Amy might never have resumed chasing horizons, including the one that eventually swallowed her, sparking a legacy and a litany of unanswered questions about the designing woman who died flying from fashion. Amy was Amelia Earhart. And now you know the rest of the story.